This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
I'm going to talk a little bit with Scott Roeder of Evidence Room about the investigation that's going on into the death of Stephen Smith. Going through many different facets of it. Scott Roeder, you work with forensic evidence on a daily basis. It is what you do. You see crime scenes regularly. I want to start with asking about how common it is that there would be attorneys who are not representing any party in the matter at the scene of the crime the day after, within 24 hours, if you will, of the crime being noticed and it becoming an actual crime scene. Because we do know that Alec and his brother were there at one point in time, and allegations even of one of them taking pictures of the scene and then being asked to leave. And Alec did have a role with the local government as a prosecutor. I could see maybe that's a logical reason why he would be there. What are we looking at here, in your opinion?
Well, one, it's against the law. According to the professional code of ethics with most, you know, state bar associations, the whole ambulance chaser thing has been, you know, ruled out for, well, a couple of decades now. You're not allowed to go to the scene of an accident as a lawyer and have communication with any potential victims for the purpose of getting business. Now, at that time, Alex Murdoch, the now infamous, was acting as a, I think, part-time county prosecutor. Mm-hmm. And his brother, Brian, was a civil lawyer in private practice. And for whatever reason, and it's not clear at this time if they went to the scene while Stephen Smith was laying there dead in the middle of the road, or because that would have been at 4 o'clock in the morning. Or they went out there sometime later. And if they did go out sometime later, that's still bizarre. Why would they do that? I am of the indication that for some reason they were there at the scene, potentially. That's extremely bizarre. And then as I've been reading the material on Stephen Smith, his mother stated, and some other folks close to him stated, he was leading a double life. He led the life of a promising nursing student during the day. Mm-hmm. And at night, he was involved with, as one investigator put it, a wide range of characters. And I think that's a soft way of saying potentially he was a sex worker or something like that. And he was, got involved with some dangerous people in this very small community. So you know, this is just what the family is saying. I don't want to make any implication because I don't know if that's true or not. But if the family is releasing that kind of information, the police say they're looking at four or five people who may have been involved in money laundering or drugs. But then this Steve Smith might have been exposed to that illegal behavior by being there for some other reason. Is the indication that I'm getting. So very interesting, you know, this little black book potentially of things all going on in his tablet and his phone, which to my understanding from the article I just read with his mother, they're starting to look into that and see who were these people that he was interacting with.
I know Sled has possession of the phone and they have it unlocked and they're trying to dive into it now and take a look and see what they can find. We don't know any of that yet. It's still part of an active investigation. It is. Could Alec have been there, though, for a reasonable cause, being, what is the title? Is it solicitor at that moment in time for the county or that a couple county district? Would it make sense that he showed up later in the day just as part of his duties or his job to
Not really. That's not the job of a lawyer to go out to a crime scene. I don't care if you're a prosecutor or not. Most likely you have an investigator, which is the police department or the sheriff's department. That's what their job is. You're the lawyer, the prosecutor. You're there to take the evidence that's collected from the law enforcement agencies that arrive on the scene, not really go to the scene yourself to collect the data firsthand. It seems kind of bizarre. I'm sure there's some prosecutors that do it. But knowing what we know about Mr. Murdoch now, I doubt he was one of those folks that was just putting the extra gumption, you know, for the 9-to-5 public paycheck.
Well, I mean, and it's interesting that the brother was there, too. I mean, the only thing that reasonably could come to mind for me would be that, you know, they were together. He went, said, I want to go stop over at this scene, you know, being the role that he plays with the authorities and within the county. And then they just stopped over. Looked horrible. The visuals of it did not look good. But there was also reports of his brother taking pictures around the scene as well, and then being told to stop doing that, and that he needed to leave. So that again, it makes it a little bizarre, a lot more bizarre, I guess, considering that supposedly nobody from the Murdaughs are involved in this whatsoever. However, the whole reason this thing got back into investigative mode is because something was unearthed in the investigation into the murder of Alec's wife and son. I think it's a little not accurate when people do say, well, it had nothing to do with the Murdoughs. It had something, but considering there was that connection there at the very least. Mm-hmm. And it may just have been a text or something, but had that they were not involved, but there is at least that type of connection.
Well, I honestly don't feel like I'm in any danger of having company saying, oh, you're making a false allegation, because the innuendo here is toward Alex Murdoch. Okay. Yeah. I don't think he's got a whole lot of standing right now. You know, why was he there? I don't know. Is it weird? Yeah. Performing your duties like that, at that time of day, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And then considering that there could be some sensitive situations that Stephen Smith might know about. Now, the article that I'm quoting is, I think, the New York Post released it just today. So, you know, I rely upon the reporting of the New York Post, you know, when talking about this. But, you know, if we get into, you know, it's just a shady cast of characters over there, and hopefully something will be found that will help out the family.
And then you also start to wonder of the web of Alec Murdaugh and his shady cast of characters that he had around him, and the money laundering and all of the bad deeds that were going on with him, and bad acts that were being performed. You make me wonder, like, okay, if, you know, was he in somehow this circle of people doing bad acts as well? And was that some way connected with Stephen? And in no way am I implying Buster or anything in this at this point. I'm just wondering. I'm actually wondering more about Alec's actual involvement with that circle.
Right.
And if there's something
me too.
There more than his son.
Yeah, I agree too, because, you know, listen, what we learned about Alex during the trial was that he did launder money, right, mm-hmm. from different parts of, you know, with the worker that he represented and embezzled the money, stealing money from his partners and so on. And it was allegedly to fuel his, you know, opioid addiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the family, through SLED, put out in that New York Post article, and then some citizen sleuth as well released photographs obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, which show him lying there in the road with his shoes on, his cell phone in his pocket. Of course, they have the head part blocked out. And, you know, it said in that article that somehow Stephen Smith had knowledge of opioids and money laundering, mm-hmm. and that could have led to his death. And I find it coincidental that Alex Murdaugh admitted to both of those things
yeah.
as part of his defense for killing his wife and his son.
Yeah, I would really question his Alex-specific connection to this. What I also, I'd love to know more, though, too, because in Sandy Smith's letter that has been released now that she penned back then, the whole family really did believe a lot of the rumors at that time that were pointing at Buster. But there really hasn't been a lot of actual evidence to support yeah. any of those rumors other than a grieving mother trying to yeah. find answers, which one would understand. If you're hearing rumors, you're going to feel vengeful mm-hmm. towards the people that are saying they must have done this. But if the evidence doesn't support that, then you really can't look at it. I am very interested to see, because I know SLED has a couple persons of interest now as to where that is going to go, none of which are Murdaughs. But I would be curious to know what their connection may be in that whole circle in the Lowcountry.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
If you like the podcast, hey, we would love for you to subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. Please press the subscribe button. Even get an ad-free version of the show on Apple Podcasts. If you want to weigh in on anything, you can always call 888-5-KILLER, 888-554-5537 to weigh in with your opinion. We may use it on a future episode of the show. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.